The SOH Network presents AsiaCast, keeping you across the top headlines from the Asia Pacific.
For the SOH News Roundup, week ending Friday, August 20th, 2011, I'm Rich Crankshaw with AsiaCast. In this bulletin, Beijing mounts new Xinjiang crackdown. Report highlights land reform burden, an unlikely education in Taiwan, and smartphone patent battle. But first, our SOH focus on China. The Chinese regime on August 11th started another hardline security crackdown on ethnic violence in the western region of Xinjiang. On Tuesday, August 16th, local authorities said the Strike Hard operation would run until October 15th. Chinese authorities blame Uyghur Muslim separatists for recent violence, alleging the Uyghur attackers are terrorists who had training in Pakistan. The World Uyghur Congress informed NTD the Chinese regime is trying to make the global community believe that Uyghur Muslims are terrorists to justify their crackdown, adding recent unrest came about because the Uyghur Muslims have become desperate, living under the Chinese regime's brutal rule. According to a recent report from the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences, between 40 and 50 million Chinese farmers have lost their farmland since economic reforms began in the 1970s. The number is increasing at a rate of 3 million farmers per year and will reach 110 million around 2030. The report also states while farmland is being lost, there is a serious trend of urban land being insufficiently utilized. The State Council's Development Research Center said since the start of economic reforms in 2003, the Chinese regime has taken over $300 billion from farmers by expropriating farmland at a low price and then reselling it at a high price. The Tibetan Center for Human Rights and Democracy reported August 12th on the death of a Tibetan political prisoner due to severe torture. Thin Lei, a young Tibetan man from Kardze County, was arrested in April 2009 for participating in calls for Tibetan freedom in Kardze. During the seven-month imprisonment by Chinese authorities, he was severely tortured. Authorities finally released Thin Lei to his family after he was in a state of physical and psychological debility and near death. Thin Lei died August 10th. The political chasm separating mainland China from Taiwan sometimes seems too vast to bridge, but a recent curious phenomenon may begin to change that. Chinese mainlanders who previously have no clue about life on the tiny island are finding through personal visits that Taiwan's vibrant democracy may be hope for China's own future. Some Chinese tourists even treat Taiwan's free media as quite the novelty. The Asia Times recently reported anecdotal accounts of Chinese tourists snubbing their day tours in favor of staying in their hotel rooms to watch uncensored TV, political talk shows, and news reports. The Epoch Times website details more of what Chinese tourists are discovering on their voyages across the Taiwan Strait. SOH takes a look across the wider Asia-Pacific region. With some analysts predicting the global smartphone market to top $250 billion by 2015, it's easy to see why the legal battle over patents is being hard fought. Most recently, Taiwanese smartphone maker HTC has brought a lawsuit against Apple in the U.S. HTC is seeking to stop U.S. imports of iPhones, iPads, iPods, and Mac computers. It follows a July ruling by the U.S. International Trade Commission that HTC was infringing two iPhone patents in a case brought by Apple. HTC, one of the world's fastest-growing smartphone makers, has built its business around Android. With Google's recent acquisition of Motorola Mobility, it gains a patent portfolio. Bernstein Research said it may help Google protect Android handset manufacturers against litigation from Apple and Microsoft. Coming up on AsiaCast, stealth jets, Asia's military must have, Vietnam worried, bans Hanoi protest, and the ukulele is winning Asia fans. Miss USA 2011, Jessica Black saw Shen Yun March 10th at Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center in Atlanta, Georgia.
Do you have anything special to say to her?
Well, Junya had given me some background, some history on Falun Gong. Am I saying that correct? The religious movement. Mm-hmm. And so to know that before the show and then to see that dramatically interpreted through dance, I mean, it brought me to tears. I mean, it's absolutely amazing to see the love and the respect and the religion behind also the orchestra. I love the original Chinese instruments. And the orchestra was some of the most beautiful music. And then I grew up a dancer. So I was amazed at the male dancers. The choreography and their technique I mean, you don't even see that type of dancing on Broadway. I mean, they had some amazing dancers. So I just loved it. I thought the culture was amazing, and to take 5,000 years and start, you know, way back in the dynasty until now was really, really, really amazing.
Mm-hmm. I've heard, like, for the host said they could not perform in China now.
Yeah.
So how do you think about that?
Well, I think that's great that they're traveling, and I know that people come from other countries to this country just to see the show. I also know that that's the reason that we have two hosts, right? There's someone in Chinese and someone in English. So I think that it's amazing. I think that, you know, government can control what they want, but people and religion and truth is the way, right? And the truth will always see its way through, and good and righteousness will always rise to the top, and that's the way I see the Xinyun show. I think it's great, it's goodness, it's righteousness, and it's rising to the top, and more people are finding out about it. You know, it's not just in New York, it's here in Atlanta, Georgia. And so I think it's a great message, and I think it's a shame that the Chinese people can't see their own culture right there live, you know, where it started to begin with.
Inspired by the rich spirit of an ancient culture, Xinyun Performing Arts brings to life classical Chinese dance and music in a gloriously colorful and exhilarating show. The SOH Network is a proud sponsor of Xinyun Performing Arts. For tickets and information, visit xinyunperformingarts.org.
You are listening to AsiaCast from the SOH Network.
Back with the rest of today's AsiaCast, I'm Rich Crankshaw. According to state-run news agency RIA Novosti, Russia's new stealth fighter was unveiled to the public Tuesday, August 16th, at an air show outside Moscow. The Sukhoi T-50 is a collaboration between Russia and India and is set to become the newest main plane for both air forces. It is intended to match the U.S. F-22 Raptor. In related news, reports have emerged suggesting similarities between China's newly developed J-20 fighter and a Russian stealth fighter prototype result from a transfer of technology. With both sides denying any such transfer took place, it is unclear how China produced a plane with similar technology to the newer produced Russian Mikoyan stealth jet. A close aide to Anna Hazare said Thursday, August 18th, the figurehead of India's anti-corruption movement had agreed on an offer made by police, which will permit him to go on hunger strike. New Delhi police detained Hazare Tuesday, August 16th, the day he was to start a hunger strike, until death or until the Indian government agreed to pass strong anti-corruption legislation. His arrest sparked widespread rallies. India Against Corruption, the organization behind the protests, reported that 10,000 people joined demonstrations in 20 locations across India, resulting in 2,500 arrests. Hazare had previously vowed to remain in custody in Delhi unless he was permitted to resume the protest. The deal will see him leave prison and go on hunger strike in a park for 15 days. Worried about anti-communist sentiment, Vietnam has ordered an end to demonstrations against China in the capital, Hanoi. Protesters have been gathering in Hanoi on Sunday mornings since June after tensions over territorial disputes in the South China Sea escalated. But the Vietnamese government said the protests had to stop because people on both sides and outside the country were using the rallies to stir up dissent against communist rule. Currently, China, Vietnam, Brunei, Malaysia, the Philippines, and Taiwan all claim territory in the South China Sea. After a blast of polar weather, New Zealand recently saw snow falling to sea level for three consecutive days in Wellington, rare snowfalls in Auckland, and a blizzard in Christchurch. The National Institute of Water and Atmospheric Research said Auckland experienced its coolest day since records began in 1961. Wellington Airport recorded its second coldest day there since records began in 1959. And Gisborne also recorded its second lowest temperature since 1940. The snow caused roads and schools to close, public transport to stop running, and power outages to thousands of homes. The freak winter weather was caused by what experts are calling a once-in-a-lifetime storm, something many New Zealanders hope is true. On a lighter note, Taiwan's Bureau of Health Promotion doubled the amount of exercise it recommends for office workers following new research published in the Lancet Medical Journal. The article by two Taiwanese scientists published Tuesday, August 16th, stated a daily 15-minute exercise can lower the possibility of death by 14% and reduce the risk of cancer-related death by 10%. In response, the Bureau of Health Promotion adjusted their original 8-minute exercise routine targeted at office workers. The Bureau said the new routine emphasizes neck and shoulder movements that will ease the stiffness caused by typing and mouse clicking. Voice of America recently reported on the unexpected rise of Japanese-American ukulele virtuoso Jake Shimabukuro. Shimabukuro is performing across Japan with a 14-show tour in August and September. At his first performance this month in South Korea, tickets sold for up to $100 a seat. The instrument many haven't taken seriously in the past is winning over new fans across Asia with its size and simplicity. Its low cost and cheerful tone may also appeal in the current economic climate. Sales of the instrument globally are reported to have increased by 1/3 annually in the past several years. Rich Crankshaw, SOH Network.
AsiaCast, keeping you across the top headlines from the Asia Pacific.